Hi, this is Johnny Gould. Iran's war with Israel is fully out of the shadows. Since Iran's unprecedented direct attack on Israel, here's a regular news bulletin rounding up major stories in what's fast being realized as the Iran-Israel war. To expose the Iran octopus as the prime mover in the Middle East conflict. All of the sound bites from world-class experts are compiled from interviews right here on Johnny Gould's Jewish State podcast. Subscribe and follow now, wherever you get your podcasts. The headlines: Israel's top military intelligence official resigns over failures that led to the Hamas massacres on October the 7th. Airstrikes in Iran and Iraq are pinned to Israel without official confirmation from the Israeli government. The US denies it's agreed to Israel's Rafah assault in return for not carrying out a large strike on Iran. A breakdown in relations between Qatar and Hamas is mooted. So where will the billionaire leadership park their wagons now? Erdogan's Turkey? The US House of Representatives approves a $17 billion defense aid package to Israel, but with a ban on funds directed to UNRWA. And why the British government's refusing to proscribe the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps? We start with the first of a series of top brass resignations at the top of Israel's military. Major General Aharon Haliva, chief of the IDF's Military Intelligence Directorate, will step down once a replacement is appointed. And this resignation was coordinated with Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Hetzi Halevi and approved by Defense Minister Yoav Gallant. And once he quits, Haliva will become the first senior IDF officer to resign over October the 7th. And alongside him, other top defense officials have said they bear responsibility for the deadly invasion carried out by Hamas, including the head of Shin Bet and the IDF chief of staff himself. None of them has yet announced plans to resign, though many are expected to once a moment in the ongoing war allows for it. Following Iran and its proxies launching over 300 drones, rockets and missiles at Israel, anti-aircraft missile radar systems close to an Iranian nuclear site at Isfahan have been destroyed in an apparent Israeli airstrike. The Iranian government has also said that short-range drones were used in that attack, which would have had to have been launched very close to Isfahan. But these claims are unlikely to be true. Iran hasn't directly accused Israel of being responsible while downplaying the incident's severity, and Israel hasn't commented on the matter as usual. However, US officials briefed that Israel was responsible, and immediate tensions between Iran and Israel now appear to have largely been diffused. And while an escalation remains a realistic possibility, neither party have indicated a willingness to do so. Colonel Richard Kemp, former British commander of forces in Afghanistan, who spent much of the last 6 months in Israel, says Iran is front and centre to Jerusalem's government and military minds.
Iran is very much centre stage in Israel now. I had a meeting with the Israeli defence minister, and it was very, very uppermost in his mind, as it is with pretty much every other Israeli official from the government that I've met. They're very fixed on that. They of course, understand that this whole war and what's going on in Lebanon and the Houthis and every other element of this war is under the control of Iran, is part of Iran's war on Israel.
A large explosion has taken place at the Kalsu military base in Iraq. Kalsu houses members of Iranian-linked Shia militias who are likely to have launched attacks on both Israel and US troops in the region. The US has denied responsibility for this strike, and while Israel hasn't commented on it, parts of a two-stage standoff air-to-surface missile, which the IDF is known to use, were found near Latifia, which is southwest of Baghdad. And these parts would have fallen away after the missile launch, and the strike has been attributed to Israel by Sabarin News. This strike is reported to have killed one militiaman and caused significant material damage. This is the Iran-Israel War Bulletin. I'm Johnny Gould, and in a moment, a deal over Rafah between Israel and the US is denied, and why Britain still refuses to proscribe Iran's Revolutionary Guard as a terror group. The US has denied reports that it agreed to Israel's Rafah assault in return for not carrying out a large strike on Iran. Initially reported in a Qatari news source quoting an Egyptian website, a US National Security Council spokesperson says the story wasn't true and such a plan has never been discussed. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has since told Western diplomats that an offensive will go ahead without publicly specifying a date. It's a realistic possibility that this will take place in the beginning of May after the Passover holiday has concluded. Reports have emerged suggesting a breakdown of relations between Qatar and Hamas. While the terrorist group has long been headquartered in Doha, tensions appear to have emerged over Hamas's intransigence and refusal to agree to a hostage release deal. It's been alleged that Qatar has failed to sufficiently pressure Hamas during indirect negotiations, and this is likely impacting its relation with the United States. The Qatari Prime Minister told a news conference in Doha that it's, quotes, in the process of a complete re-evaluation of its role, and that there is exploitation and abuse of the Qatari role. It now appears that these comments referenced Hamas. And it's likely that Doha has come under United States pressure to expel the group entirely. It's been reported that Hamas has approached Oman and Turkey as potential new hosts. And of these, Turkey is the more likely to respond favorably, given their long-standing support for Palestinian and Islamist causes. The U.S. House of Representatives has approved a $17 billion defense aid package to Israel, as part of an overall $95 billion, which also provides security assistance to Ukraine and Taiwan. Despite receiving bipartisan support, it was opposed by Republican hardliners. But the Senate is expected to pass the measure, sending it to President Joe Biden to sign into law. Of the aid to Israel, some $5.2 billion will go towards replenishing and expanding Israel's missile and rocket defense system while prohibiting funds going to UNRWA. And despite criticisms over aid and the Gaza Strip's humanitarian situation, this bill's easy passing underscores the strength of bilateral U.S.-Israeli relations, which is likely to endure through Operation Swords of Iron. The IDF has conducted counter-terror operations in the Nur Shams camp close to the Palestinian city of Tulkarm in Judea and Samaria. At least 10 gunmen have been killed, 8 wanted Palestinians detained, and these operations primarily targeted Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and one of the group's local leaders was named amongst the dead. Preventing a significant escalation of terrorism from Judea and Samaria remains one of the IDF's strategic priorities, and future similar operations in the northern part of the region are highly likely. A Hezbollah drone and anti-tank missile strike on a community centre in the northern border town of Arab al-Aramshi has injured 17 Israelis and killed one IDF officer. Hezbollah has also fired salvos of rockets into Israel, while the IDF says that it has conducted several airstrikes targeting the group in southern Lebanon. There's little prospect of de-escalation of violence on the Israeli-Lebanese border, increasing the risk of an IDF operation in Lebanon once Hamas has been dismantled or defeated in the Gaza Strip. Professor Chuck Freilich is Israel's former deputy national security advisor. So can Israel fight wars on more than one front at the same time?
That's the really big danger here. Iran built up Hezbollah with a truly mammoth and frightening arsenal. Something like 150,000 rockets. That's an unheard of number. There's no military in the world that has that many rockets. I'm not comparing Hezbollah to the U.S. Army or the U.K. Army or whatever, but in one or two areas, such as rockets, anti-aircraft, some anti-missiles, they've got unprecedented capabilities. And if and when it blows with them, it is going to be very, very difficult. Thousands of homes will be destroyed. Don't know how many people will be killed in these attacks, but you gave an order of magnitude. This is a whole different ballgame. because Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad together were thought to have had about 30,000-40,000 rockets before this started. Hezbollah is thought to start with 4 to 5 times what they have.
The British Foreign Secretary Lord Cameron has told the Israeli Prime Minister that the UK would not be proscribing the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps on the basis that doing so would undermine London's ability to communicate with Tehran. And while the Home Office is understood to have historically supported proscription, especially under Suella Braverman's leadership, the British have instead preferred to impose sanctions. Proscription of the IRGC is highly unlikely under this current UK government. And that's the latest on the Iran-Israel war. Subscribe to Johnny Gould's Jewish State for exclusive interviews with leading voices from Israel and the diaspora. And to support my work, kindly think about making a donation at buymeacoffee.com/Johnny Gould, paypal.me/Jonathan L. Gould, or ko-fi.com/Johnny Gould. That's buymeacoffee.com/Johnny Gould, paypal.me/Jonathan L. Gould, or ko-fi.com/Johnny Gould. And share the podcast with your friends. The regular news and interviews right here on Johnny Gould's Jewish State.